local government as a result of reapportionment of the legislature?
The legislature has tried to give both cities and counties and the numerous special taxing districts, well, the legislature has tried to give the city and county governments more home rule powers. Counties can, by ordinance, do now what previously could only be done by a special act of the legislature.
What would be some examples of this?
Well, if a county wished to provide garbage collection service, it would have had to come to the legislature to get that authority. Now they can do it by an ordinance. So they had no ordinance making authority prior to a few years ago.
Does each county have its own county government in the form of what, a county council type?
County commission.
Is that uniform statewide?
It is, except in the charter counties, and those are Dade, Metropolitan Dade, Miami, Jacksonville, Duval, I believe Sarasota, and Volusia counties have variations, but all the rest are uniform at the moment.
How many members on each commission?
Five.
And are they usually elected by district or countywide?
They must live in a district but are elected countywide.
Did they exist before the changes in reapportionment? Or what, they just had very little power?
That's true. And the legislature has had considerable difficulty, has not been too successful in persuading the counties and cities to take on the power that they have available to them. They would prefer to spread the heat by being able to say that the legislature has required us to do this and that. So it's still an evolving situation.
Is there much in the way of state revenue sharing with the counties and municipalities?
Yes, a great deal of it. A great deal of it. The state has taken over more and more of the cost of local government, particularly in the schools.
But there is no statewide property tax, am I correct in that?
No, that was abandoned to the local areas. 39 or 41.
Do you know how long Florida's had this cabinet system? Is this a long standing institution or did it just evolve that way? But it's unique in the country.
The beginning of the cabinet system was, I suspect, about, almost from the start. But by the Civil War, it was, probably a controller, a treasurer, attorney general, secretary of state. In some periods during Reconstruction, the governor could appoint the members of the cabinet. But beginning with 1885, the cabinet was fully and independently elected and has been ever since. Each of the cabinet officers has his own constituency and his own political base. One of the reasons why there's not the cohesiveness that you might find elsewhere. Commissioner Valerie. agriculture was his bailiwick, insurance commissioner, attorney general, controller of banks, mortgages, lending money institutions across the board.
But their power comes from their being able to act collectively as boards. Which, that's unique, isn't it?
Yes. I understand it is. They tell me that it's not like anything else in the country.
That is changing.
It is changing somewhat. There's no great change yet has appeared. Much will depend upon events which are marching. We don't know where they will end, but
how many Republicans in the legislature this year? Do you know offhand?
There are 44. In the House, I think that's the way it works now, 43 Republicans and 77 Democrats. What?
How about in the Senate? Do you offhand that?
Oh.
Republicans haven't shown any great gains in the last 4 years or so, have they?
No, they've held their own.
Have there been many attempts at impeachment other than Tom Adams?
That was the first of an officer of the executive department. There was all the others that reached impeachment stage were of judges. But there weren't many of those.
But Adams was the first one in the executive branch, and that failed.
Now, articles of impeachment were brought in by an individual member against a governor, but that's as far as they went. Articles were presented or about to be presented against a treasurer around the turn of the century. He resigned, but Adams was the first. It partials were actually finally brought to the floor of the House. Makes for an interesting situation now that he's running against the governor.
Florida certainly has an interesting political year this year. Do you get a feel there's going to be any substantial change or upheaval in politics this year in the state?
I would not be surprised. It appears that there's a chance for upheaval everywhere in the country this year. Which way it'll go, no one knows. One of the interesting phenomena to me of led-gov politics is that people are quite critical of the legislature collectively, but seem to be, in most cases, happy with their own representative or senator. So, you may hear a great deal of talk about change that, well, might not be reflected in results of the election.
Do you consider the Florida legislature currently, I mean by currently the last 2 years, 4 years, the modern Florida legislature is truly responsive to the people of this state?
Yes, I would think so.
There's a question we keep asking people, and you're probably the person of all people that I need to ask the question, and that is, do you consider Florida a southern state?
No, I would not think so. No. As we remarked earlier, more than half the people in Florida today were born elsewhere. And I suspect that a great many of those, of that 50-some percent, came here in the prime of their lives, not as children. And they came here from Ohio and Pennsylvania, New York. They have certainly diluted the southernness of this state. There's been a tremendous in-migration from Georgia and Alabama. I think by far the greater number of people have come in from the north. And that percentage is going up all the time because of the retirement plans. The thought that your dollar will stretch further in a warm climate.
To what do you attribute the percentage of the vote that George Wallace received here in 1972 in the presidential primary? How much of that was racial appeal and how much something else?
Well, I have no way of looking at the minds of people, but I suspect it was the same sort of protest vote that was cast in Michigan, Wisconsin.
In your opinion, if you had a presidential primary here and people considered it really decisive, in determining who might get the nomination of the Democratic Party. How in your own mind, just from the feel of the state and the feel of the people, do you think it would come out in a head-to-head race between Governor Askew and Governor Wallace?
Well, I think it would be a different talk, but Askew, would, I think, would take it just because of local pride. I think people in a national contest would want their own state's governor to appear well. Against anybody else, there is very little doubt in my mind that Wallace would carry Florida again. I don't. The situation hasn't changed. Either he's a protest candidate. There's much to protest in today's life.
Going back to that little poll you took of the 10 senators, who would be the 10 people you think would come up today if you took the same poll?
No, I couldn't answer that off the cuff. But they wouldn't be those 10, I can tell you. Television has made such a difference in political campaign. You ask whether the legislature today was responsive to people. I think the legislature in the 1940s was responsible to the constituency that those members represented. It's just a different base now. When a senator represented a county with 2,500 people and was elected, I think, maybe 400 of those people, he tended to be extremely conservative, took care of getting jobs for a few. He couldn't see paying school teachers a great deal because he knew this local teacher was the wife of the mailman or the butcher, so their combined salary, he would be aware, would be quite large, and he knew that she wasn't going to move away because of the salary. She was caught up in it, in the system. So they represented their constituency as they saw it. The constituency was happy with it. They didn't care what the Metropolitan newspaper said about it. Possibly had a circulation. Five in that particular senator's district. They probably didn't sell a single copy in the county of the president of the Senate. The only way he knew what the paper said about him was when somebody sent him a clipping. Didn't have any influence. By shifting the basis to the suburbs, they are responsive to the people and responsive to the press. And by press, I mean the media. generally because most of the TV stations in Florida use editorials.
You make a point that the senators in those days were responsive to their constituency, but how about those senators who came from a large county, a metropolitan area?
Well, they were hamstrung. There were not enough of them. You see, Dade County was represented. Dade County was a million people who were represented by one senator. Jefferson County next door with 2,700 people was represented by one senator. Dade senator was lucky just to hold on. He could not have any significant influence in the state. He was always being pushed into the corner by his own papers, by their insistence on fair reapportionment. They had a very awkward, very difficult time. But much good came out of these old legislatures. See, the only real point of difference to what, how the name actually evolved, the pork chop gang, was over apportionment. The MFP, or Minimum Foundation Plan for Equality in Education, developed in Florida during the pork chop days. The university system developed, chain of tuberculosis hospitals developed. It wasn't all that bad. Florida had to do a lot of catching up fast when the population jumped from before World War I. It was probably a million and a half, to the enormous influx after World War II. After World War II. It's been one of the peculiarities of growth in Florida that it has followed each war, beginning with the Civil War. There was a great growth after the Spanish-American War, then after World War I. The biggest growth came after World War II, and probably as a result of some form of retirees. Or certainly, there were tens of thousands of young men exposed, and some women exposed to Florida's climate at the training camps that were all over the state. Many of those came back here, some of them could. People, soldiers, sailors from other states who were based in Florida during the war.
Are you a native of Florida?
Chicago.
You came here when?
22.
How did you happen to come to Florida?
My father was responding to the appeal of an exhibit by real estate development called Coral Gables, which has developed rather large city, but they sort of stress the pleasantries of life down here, fishing, which he liked, so we came down there to Miami.
Is there anyone or any institute at Florida State or at any of the other state universities that does a, in effect, a post-election analysis each year?
Yes. At Florida State University, there's a... Its name changes from time to time, but the man to call is Dr. Elston Rhody, and it's...
R-H-O-D-Y?
That's what I'm going to check on. R-O-A-D.
Just surface, do you perceive any great changes in the types of people from an occupation standpoint in the legislature now than 10, 15 years before reapportionment? Are there more lawyers or less? I presume it might be fewer farmers.
Yes, we've done some studying on that, and the types have changed. I think the number of lawyers is about the same. But the changes reflect the changes in the state. We have commercial airline pilots, entomologists, a couple of undertakers.
End interview with Alan Morris. No more transcription. This tape.